Blake, looks like they'll be back together here tonight. So what did you see with those guys apart?
It wasn't for Mark and Blake in that it was for Adam Lowry and Andrew Kopp, but just a different way of viewing the game. And then Mark to work with different wingers. So what Mark and Blake have is a language on the ice where they want each other, ideas of how the two of them play off each other. It's a big part of their success. And that idea was that they would share that language with other players and they can start, you know, benefiting from that knowledge and that chemistry so much. And I think this was true 15 to 20 years ago, and it's not as true now, which is a problem. The players used to share information. I don't mean they're hiding it. That idea is that you learn most of what was important in the game, not from the coach, from the guy beside you. The hockey part of it was that knowledge was transferred kind of laterally on the bench, and we're trying to encourage that to happen now. Now it's almost all of this is so much more coach-focused. This is the information. This is what you need to do. And that's, I don't know if that's the best line of communication. I don't know if that's the best direct knowledge. So when you're a 20-year-old kid and the coach is screaming about getting in on the forecheck, yeah, okay, I've heard that before. But when Blake Wheeler's sitting beside you and says, put your stick here and drive your legs there, and when you meet them like this, they're never going to forget that.
Right. I'm sure Nick Ehlers would love to stay full-time with those two guys.
Yeah.
You've auditioned him there in the past. What have you liked about him playing there, and what would he have to do to stay there?
I liked his last tour there. I liked his tour in November, December of last year because I thought that his intensity level picked up, his battle level. But I'm going to say the same thing, Kyle Connor and Patrick Laine and anybody that goes there. To play with those two, to keep up with those two, the best of your game has to come out. What we need him to be able to do now is maintain that, sustain it, be able to play at that level. You know, he's not a kid anymore. So he's kind of, we've talked about, you know, the youth and all that, but Nicky's been here a little bit now. He's got some years under his belt. He needs to change gears and be a man on the ice and be able to weather that, play against the other team's best, win battles, be fast. Be aware that on that line, there's a level of responsibility that at times you're not forced into. Because the third line, if you're playing, you know, if Laus comes off the bench second and you're getting out in the three hole, you're not getting pressured the same way you would be if you're playing against the other team's best. And Mark is drawing that fire, whether it's either the number one offensive player on the other team or if they have an Adam Lowry, you're getting him. So you're getting the best. There's a lot of pressure on the wingers then.
Paul, what about the Brian Little has instructed and helped out Patrick Laine and Nikolai Ehlers. What can he help Christian Vesalainen and Jack Roslovic with? I know this is just one game, but what do you expect to see from them tonight?
Well, I have both of them almost in the same category, right? They're upside to how much they're going to get better based on how much more they can learn. But I'm going to separate the two because Jack's been here for a little bit. Jack is going to get an opportunity to look again, play with a center iceman that works consistently harder than he does. That's not an attack on Jack. That's true of all of these young guys. Brian Little's consistency is impeccable in his games, right? Every shift goes as hard as he can, gets off the ice. The young players don't do that, right? They've gone from amateur hockey where they coasted around until they had a chance to score and then they turned it on. So that's where Jack's getting. For Vess, it's the communication of where he wants you on the ice, right? The center directs so much of that. When I get the puck here low, I need you right here. So he's learning positioning systems, all those kind of things from Brian.
I don't want to say that Jack's not doing what he needs to do.
But I'm sorry.
I don't want to say
Jack's
not
okay.
doing what he needs
thought you
to
said
do.
Jack. Okay.
No. But what does he need to show, I suppose? I mean, it seems like his role is transient at this point.
I'm not going to, is that the right word? I would say that all Jack needs to do is every single day get one more shift where he's on. So what I just said about Nick Ehlers is true. It's true of all of these guys. When you see Jack Roslovic, that shift that he's at his best, you get excited. And I understand then why people would say, hey, if you played him with better players, he'd score more. An argument I've heard. But what he needs to do is play that shift more often away from the puck, which means he just needs to mature. And be clear, I'm not saying he's immature. That's what happened to these young guys. They come into the league, they give you one of every four games, you go, oh man, we got a good young player there. And as they grow, they eventually become the Brian Littles or, you know, Josh Morrissey's, where it's you're pretty much sure you're getting four out of four, and then once every 15, 20 games you get an off one, and you don't think twice about it. This is all about shift after shift consistency. So in the game the other night, he had two or three just fantastic shifts, and then he had two that the coach might have been unkind after seeing it. I believe in the young man. I got to get those other games out of him as fast as I can. But I also have an understanding that it's not a complete failure for a young man not to be a consistent hockey player yet.
And then, Billy, you talked about Billy just after the game. And is there just something particular about his, what he's shown here? I mean, this will be his third game, but he, like, you've talked, you know, you've kind of gushed about him, how good he's been.
I didn't gush.
Sure.
Did not gush.
Wrong choice of words.
Please.
He's been very good.
It was effusive in my praise. It's not fair. Gushing. So what I'm going to remember, if you ask me to pick a memory for Ville Kamp, is a one-on-one drill where he's with Blake Wheeler. And it's a hard drill, and Blake's trying to get the puck to the net. And Ville's feet allowed him to stay in the right body for a smaller man to take on our biggest, faster man. And then he competed, like, you know, and he didn't give Blake any room. And Blake eventually got the puck to the net, but it was like, Blake didn't stop the drill. He cut back and cut back, and it was physical contact and physical contact. And I thought, so you, for me, that answers all the competitive questions that you would have about every young guy. How's he wired? How competitive is he? Because he plays a really smart, really cerebral game. He's very skilled. He's very smooth. But that drill tells me that he's going to be a really competitive young man with that skill set. So, again, okay, now I'm gushing.
Well, it means that Dustin was suspended, or was this just...
Right. It's procedure. It is absolutely procedural, and Dustin was aware of it.
At the stage of camp, Paul, I mean, how does a bubble player strike that balance between doing enough to earn your trust, but also showing enough on the other side of the puck to earn a job?
Well, I would say if he's on the bubble now, then he had to at least continue what you're doing. The 7 to 10 day mark in camp, and this may have been true maybe a few years back when there were 5 week camps, that's when the break in camp happens, not by the coach. The kids start to fall off. They just can't do it anymore. The guys that just aren't quite ready, their practice habits, they just can't maintain the intensity. And then the guys that are kind of physically ready or have a skill level that allows them to maintain a high level of play, it kind of breaks off. So the bubble guys have to do it every day until we get to New York, and then I'll make a decision. But I mean, a guy can probably, yeah, we can have some switches in who is the extra forward. I'm right now looking at this as a 5-line, 8 to 9 team group. That's my next where I want to get to. So I'm not far off having that done. Right, we've got 2 games and a practice before we make that decision, where the 4 of the first assignments I think will happen. If a guy, there's a chance to get noticed, go harder, battle harder, give us a reason then to say, hey, I've worked so hard, coach, you can't.